Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today. On this episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show, we talk about the concept of performance therapy for maintenance and not just using physical therapy for big injuries and surgeries.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure you knew about my free online course on the Introduction to Performance Therapy and Training. If you want to learn how to get started optimizing and enhancing performance, this is the course for you. Head to MikeReinold.com/performance to sign up today. Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show. I am joined by the physical therapy crew at Champion PT and Performance, some at work outside, some at home, I don't know, but Dave Tilley, Lenny Macrina, Lisa Russell, Mike Scaduto, all here answering your amazing questions. Just remember, we do this podcast for you, so keep them coming. Head to MikeReinold.com, click on that podcast link, and you can ask us more great questions. Anything you guys want to talk about, we'll hopefully address. And yeah, we got another good one today, right? Should we get into it, or should we do some small talk?
Let's get some banter going.
There's, you know, it's. I read the comments. I do read the comments, by the way. Some people love it. Some people hate it.
Is Lenny still the favorite character?
Fast forward.
That's what I always say. Just fast forward. Some people want to. Sometimes there's some gold in the banter, right?
We talk about
pretty rarely.
2019, where Mike kicked my coffee over deliberately.
Oh yeah, that's right. I definitely didn't deliberately kick your coffee over. But who puts their coffee next to my feet?
Someone who's filming a podcast and is squished with 9 people.
I know, right? We're jamming in that little room. But,
I miss those days.
Yeah, dude, I wish we could jam together.
We used to record a podcast like this. I'd try to turn to ask a question. And be like,
just breathing all over us.
Best in peace, wide-angle Zoom.
I know. Yeah, no, I agree. So, all right, let's get at it because some people actually dislike that portion. So I hope you fast forwarded. So let's see. We have a question from Greg from Connecticut. Greg says, or asks, do you recommend athletes continue some type of maintenance physical therapy once their treatment is complete? If so, how are you able to make this happen in an in-network provider when insurance doesn't usually cover these types of services? So Greg, I love this question because this may be the most important question we've ever answered for the future of sports or outpatient or orthopedic physical therapy, right? I mean, and we've kind of addressed this all the time, but you know, at Champion, we call ourselves performance therapy more than we call ourselves physical therapy, right? Because we think performance therapy is a better phrase for what we provide. We help people perform. We help people, you know, if you go through like our CPS system, all our other systems, it's talking about restoring, optimizing, and enhancing their performance. This is performance therapy. Nowhere in there is it like, hey, you had surgery and you need physical therapy, that type of thing, right? So I do think there's a need for our profession to progress, right? And to get beyond the fact that physical therapy is just for these big traumatic things. So let's talk to the crowd and get some of your guys' thoughts on this. But, you know, should we be using physical therapy for maintenance? What are some like examples at Champion for people that we do use this on? And I think we can all briefly just touch, you know, we got to keep it 15 minutes, but no pressure. Briefly touch about like maybe all of our like specialties. Now we're sports. So I'm going to give you that for an example. Maybe Dave, you can touch upon gymnastics and I hate to say CrossFit, especially nowadays, but like you'll just like the fitness athletes, so somebody, sure. And just somebody that trains, you know what I mean? Like somebody that trains. But so Dave, why don't you start? Like what's the point of physical therapy? What can you provide somebody like a gymnast and a fitness athlete, you know, that's not just injuries?
Yeah, and this is definitely something that I've learned a lot from you two, especially because I was in an in-network job and I was doing a lot more kind of what you would consider, you know, regular PT. And I felt two things. One is that people always felt they wanted sometimes a little bit more, not in terms of like coming three times a week or stuff like that, but they just wanted someone to be in contact with in case, hey, this feels weird, or like, is this a normal part of my training? And so I thought that was lacking sometimes, was just that open communication. And then two is I feel like we're really lucky at Champion where we're working with people all year round for performance issues and then also for physical therapy or rehab issues. And so we see a lot more of the multifaceted nature of sports. And I think, you know, you guys worked in pro baseball. And I think that if you don't have that perspective of seeing someone through a full season and seeing somebody through an off season, preseason and their end goals, I think sometimes you don't really understand what they're going through. And so for us, you guys did it with baseball. And for me in gymnastics, we just know repetitive sports create unique adaptations that are sometimes great, but if they're gone too far, they sometimes are negative. And the one example I'll use with gymnasts, for example, and this is common in baseball players, common in CrossFit, is if you do a lot of lat-based and teres, you know, major and pec-based activities, you're going to continue to get some stiffness in those muscle groups because they get extremely overworked, right? You guys have shown in studies the eccentric trauma of throwing on a shoulder loses some range of motion overhead, and that is now maybe a risk factor for elbow injuries. And in gymnastics, we don't have that data yet, but I think we're seeing a very similar pattern, whereas if you do a lot of bars and your lats get stiff, or you do a lot of CrossFit and Olympic lifting and your lats get stiff, and you lose overhead motion, well, your back might start to become a problem or something of that nature. So it's not for us about trying to sell somebody into a life program. We need your time and your money. It's more about you have goals, you want to get there. And we know that over the course of a season, if we let this go unchecked, we see some athletes kind of have problems. So our services are every other week, maybe in an in-season for a quick half hour session of like soft tissue, some manual strengthening, consulting on their program, and just giving advice. That's really, I think, what we find it as. It's not a always need to be here for the rest of time, and we're just here for whatever they need.
All right, so you brought up a really good point that I like that you brought up, but like Dave talked two times during that about being almost like a concierge to the people where like, you know, is this a big deal? Like, hey, check this out real quick. Is this something I should be worried about? And a lot of times we just pat them on the back and say, nope, get back out there, man. You're good. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing, right? So we, you know, like, so being a concierge, being there for somebody, I think that's super helpful. That doesn't mean you need to be going every week, you know, but the other big thing I think Dave brought up that, you know, I think is really good is like, look, if you're going to participate in this activity that uses your body to the max, you're going to have repercussions from that, right? You're going to have, you know, tightness, weakness, fatigue, maybe some soreness, right? So this is funny. When we do an evaluation for somebody that comes in for an injury, it's almost like we have two components of the exam, but what do we look at? We look at like what's, you know, like the pain, structural stuff, like the diagnosis, but the whole other thing we do, it's like what's tight, what's weak, what's this, right? Like, so why is it? So let's just say, let's break it down. We'll see, we'll cause tightness, weakness, and pain. Why is it that people only come to physical therapy when they have pain? Come to physical therapy when you have tightness and weakness, because you're going to come in for pain and we're going to work on these two things. Right. So maybe we should work on those things before you have pain. Right. So that's a whole paradigm shift almost where we have to like change the narrative.
Ooh, hot topic.
Somebody make that a clip for social media. But we got to change the narrative a little bit here to like people that like it's like the performance aspect of it. So I love that. So, Dave, good stuff. Mike, for golfers, like what do you do with, you know, what's the thought process for your golfers?
Yeah, I think Dave kind of nailed it from a general perspective that things kind of change over the course of a season. And golf is maybe for most people, for most amateur golfers, it's a little bit less structured than gymnastics in that, you know, people may play one weekend and then they take 2 weeks off and then they're playing four rounds the next weekend. And they tend to get sore and they tend to get stiff, right? So we have to do something consistently to counteract the stress that golf puts on their body. Also, you know, the stress or lack of stress that they're getting throughout the week, you know, working in their jobs, we'll say if they have a sedentary job. So then these people try and go out, they try and play golf, which is a very, extremely repetitive, asymmetrical rotational movement that puts a lot of stress on all areas of the body. And then they end up getting sore. So, you know, our goal is to kind of address that before it becomes an issue for them. But at the same time, we have to, over the course of a year, we have to change their program. And so I think, you know, if we're trying to, in an off season, let's say, trying to gain a lot of mobility and gain some strength, then when it shifts to them playing a lot of golf, you know, our philosophy kind of changes to let's maintain what we have. Let's not lose any mobility. Let's not lose any strength. So I think, yes, they need to definitely come in for maintenance care. And the goals kind of shift over time, exactly how Dave said.
I thought that was really good because, you know, Dave spoke really well on that where we can be here for maintenance and management. I'm going to say management too, because Dave's like us in baseball. We like working with the player year round. You have to manage that, right? What I think Mike brings to the table with the golfers, Mike actually works with the most sedentary of all of our populations, right? It's the golfer that works all freaking week.
Somewhat offended by that.
You know what I mean? Like think about it. Like you're an attorney by day and then you try to golf on the weekend, right? So Mike brings up a great point on where we as physical therapists, performance therapy, it's almost also prehab. Right? So it's preparing them for the task they want to do and not combating the stress of golf necessarily, but combating the stress of their life to get them prepared to do the activity they want. That is a cool differentiation.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the really big things with golf is we do see injuries that are acute and happen from the stress of the golf swing, but oftentimes it's, you know, nagging aches and pains that then that come about in everyday life that then become an issue when they start to play golf. Right. So it's kind of maybe a little bit different than gymnastics where, you know, they're literally tearing muscles off the bone, like in practice.
Fact. That's the easiest thing they do. So Lisa, from you're probably the best athlete of all of us, right? I mean, that's probably a fact.
That's generous.
But I mean, from your perspective as an athlete, how has that changed how you now perform performance therapy for your rowers? I mean, you're an athlete, you know what I mean? Like, so what did that experience teach you about how to perform performance therapy on them? Terrible question. I'm sorry, but you can answer that better than I just asked.
I mean, when I was full-blown training, that's legitimately when I found Lenny, because I knew I needed someone to like help me manage. Right? I was like digging myself into a hole all the time. And once I figured out like, okay, I need some like maintenance soft tissue work along the way, my training got like much more consistent. And, you know, I was in general pain like way less frequently because I was like managing everything we're talking about.
All right. Keep going on this. I like this. So as an athlete, you proactively sought out a little bit of this. So at the time you were also a physical therapist, right?
So that's super
helpful that you appreciated that. So yeah. you had the number one thing that the general public's missing: awareness. Like you knew this existed and this would be something for, again. So, you know, if you're listening, APTA, I know you're not, but if you were, like awareness that we do more than just like these big injury things, but right. So, all right. So keep going on that. Like, tell us how your performance, how rowing improved from that.
I mean, I actually felt like I was able to use my body more appropriately. You know, I was not like crumbling into like a tight ball of whatever. So, no, I mean, and that's where like taking that experience and trying to teach the rowers that I like train with now and work with and just like rowing friends of mine, the benefits that I had in doing that for myself and like, hi, I'm also here for you and I can help you with this. You know, I try and teach the rowers that I interact with, like, I'm here for you as a resource. Like, you don't have to just text me or call me when you're hurt, right? You can text me or call me and say, hey, I want to come in and see you when things just feel tight or you had a really heavy, like, training load for the week and you know, wherever I fit into your, like, toolbox, essentially, like that's kind of how I try and tell people, like, I'm here as a tool to help you continue to train and continue to perform and not just for the like, oh, my ribs are starting to bug me, like, what do I do about that? And the friends of mine who have actually listened to that definitely have had more consistent training over the past few years than they previously did. So it's pretty powerful once you figure out the balance.
Right. And you get to, I mean, you get to like, you can like share that. Like, so we have experience with athletes, so we can say like, yeah, no, we know this helps, but you can say like, look, I've been there, I've done this, like this helped me. So that's pretty powerful to get that message across. So, Why don't we wrap up with a little bit from Len a little bit? So I don't think we need to really cover baseball. I think we kind of covered everything. But Len, let's talk about the business side of this. What is your advice to somebody that is in network?
That
is an insurance-based thing. You know, how do you deal with this sort of thing? Like, what do you recommend they do?
Yeah, we hear this all the time. We're speaking at meetings that, you know, you guys are cash-based. It's easier for you guys, but...
why is it easier for us? That makes no sense, by the way. It's probably way harder, but anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I think people who... You got to show value, obviously, for the people that come to see you. So whether or not they had an injury with you and they use their insurance... and they appreciated your services, well, they need to know that you offer a potentially cash-based option to continue some of those services for a nominal fee, right? So, you know, maybe you offer a 30-minute session after they get through their 8 PT Blue Cross Blue Shield visits, or, you know what I mean? Like they have an ACL and they have 12 sessions. Well, they need more visits, right? So you have a 30-minute or a 60-minute option or some kind of option where they have some kind of program that they can come and continue to see you. And obviously, if they see value in what you have provided them with their insurance visits, they will probably continue with you. It's you. They want to work with you somehow. They want to feel better. They want to be able to perform better. And it's you that they want to work with. And they will find a way, especially for their kids, right? Parents will do anything for their children to get them to be feeling good and be able to perform at their highest level. So you got to introduce a program to them, and you obviously have to give them good services, great services, because they're using their own cash now because they perceive cash is king, right? So if they're going to use their cash, they better be receiving the top services that they perceive. So give them that option, and I guarantee they will use that option and want to stay with you, and it's an extra revenue source for your facility. You know?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It's a lot easier to transition somebody that rehabbed with you to this performance maintenance thing. You know, a couple of tips I think I'd give you, you know, based on that would be like, it's very clear that nobody wants to buy physical therapy, right? So keep that in mind. Right? We're kind of saying that that's part of the problem right here. So you just have to change the name. You have to brand this and make it a product, right? So like, say it's baseball, just like, you know, sell them a velocity program. Call it a velocity program, but what is it? Well, it's manual therapy, manual strengthening. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the things we would normally do in a treatment, or maybe it's like a, you know, return to sport ACL program. You see what I mean? What you don't want to say is, Hey, you're out of insurance. Do you want to just pay cash for physical therapy? You'd be like, no, you say, hey, you're out of insurance. Now it's time to transition to our super happy fun ACL return to sport program, right? Like you have to come up with a cool name, like and sell that to them, and I think they will have a much better appreciation that this is like a different type thing. I think that's the other thing. And keep this in mind: massages are $100. Personal trainers are $100 for one-on-one, right? You go get a lesson with a golf coach or a baseball pitching coach or something, it's $100, right? Don't be afraid to charge for the service you're about to provide. You're probably going to way over-deliver because that's what we do in our fields, right? So don't be afraid to charge. Don't be afraid to come up with that. But come up with it. Make it a marketing thing, a rebranding thing where you're not just saying, okay, you're out of insurance now, just give me cash for the same physical therapy. No, like it has to be like a return to sport program, a velocity program, a performance enhancement, maintenance program. Come up with a cool name, right? In baseball, we call it our arm care program, right? Like people dig that name, that concept. They get that, right? So you have to find what your people are aware of, right? And we kind of talked about that with Lisa, like being aware of it and then deliver that to them. And I think you'll be much more successful in that model. Make sense? So awesome. Great episode. Thank you, Greg, for the question. We appreciate it. If you have more questions like that, again, just head to the website, mikegrano.com, click on the podcast link, you fill out the form, and be sure to head to iTunes, Spotify, rate, and review, and we will see you on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to mikegrano.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at mikegrano.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.